Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey, and today is Sunday, June 28th. Thanks for joining us for worship at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Greene, Iowa. Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. Paul writes, "Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know the problem with Lutherans? That sounds like it should be the setup to a joke or something, but it's not. There really is a problem with the Lutheran tradition. Well, there are many problems with the Lutheran tradition, I'm sure, but there's one primary problem I want to talk to you about today. Here's the problem. We Lutherans have too much grace. Some of you were here or watching online 2 weeks ago when I preached about the unique contribution of the Lutheran tradition to the greater church. I said then, the biggest thing Lutheran-flavored Christians have to offer is our emphasis on God's grace. It's in one of our denomination's taglines. We are the church that shares a living, daring confidence in God's grace. We believe there is nothing we can do to get to God. We are totally dependent on God coming to us. Maybe you remember the wording from Martin Luther's Small Catechism. In his explanation of the third part of the Apostles' Creed, the article about the Holy Spirit, Martin Luther writes, "I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith." For centuries, Lutheran confirmation students have learned those words. I cannot, by my own understanding or strength, believe in Jesus or come to him. You cannot choose to follow Jesus. Jesus chooses you. We believe the only way any of us can be saved is by God working in us through the Holy Spirit. We are saved by God's grace through faith. That's Lutheranism 101, the fundamental basis for how we as Lutherans understand God. God's action towards us always comes before any action we take towards God. Everything depends on God's grace. And focusing on God's grace is good and right and biblical and faithful. But there's a big problem with putting everything on God's grace. A problem that Paul brings up in today's reading from Romans 6. Now, before this, Paul has been talking about how great God's grace is, how amazing it is. In verse 8 of chapter 5, the chapter right before this, Paul wrote, "God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, before we could have done anything to deserve it. And Paul talks about God's grace being a free gift, where the more that we sin, the more God forgives. We are listening to this, you are listening to this today, we are here today because of God's grace. Because God does not give up on us no matter what we do. But as much as Paul loves grace, he's not blind to the potential problem with grace. And he brings up this problem in verse 15 of today's reading. Romans 6:15. "What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" And he asked it a few verses earlier as well in verse 1 of the chapter. Paul asked, "What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound?" The problem is that if the law is what motivates us to follow God, if the punishments are what keep us from sinning, and then suddenly Jesus comes along and Jesus sets us free from the burden of following the law, Jesus takes our sins into himself, Jesus takes the punishment we deserve, well then what? We might as well just keep sinning, since we all know we'll be forgiven anyway. More sin, more grace, right? I mean, there's a whole bunch of sins I've never tried. Some of them sound like they could be pretty fun, so maybe I should go try them, since God will forgive me anyway. And you see how grace can be a problem. And it's not just that committing sins doesn't seem as bad when we know God forgives it. It's also about what we don't do, what we fail to do, sinning by omission. Why bother to make the effort to do anything good if it's all up to God anyway, not to us? Like we talked about last week, people can get upset if you follow Jesus and you stand up for justice or you work for peace. So why bother? Why bother rocking the boat by challenging sin if God's grace is just going to fix everything anyway? Might as well stay quiet and not bother anyone and let God sort it out. And this has been one of the criticisms, with some justification, of Lutherans. Because we believe God's grace makes doing good works unnecessary for salvation, we have trouble sometimes actually getting anything done. Historically, we've sometimes erred on the side of staying quiet in the face of injustice rather than speaking up, rather than acting. Romans 6 is the answer to that problem. Paul writes, "What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means." "Absolutely not," he says. "Remember, without God's grace, you are a slave to sin. You're a sinner. You can't stop sinning. But God has forgiven you. You don't have to stay in bondage to sin anymore. Jesus has broken your chains, undone the lock, set you free. So quit letting sin be in control of your life." As Bob Dylan in his Christian phase once sang, "You gotta serve somebody." Your actions, what you do, reveals whether or not you actually believe in grace. The Holy Spirit does not just bring us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit builds faith in us, builds trust in us, keeps us in the church, in the body of Christ, serving our neighbors, doing good works. Jesus has given you freedom. That's grace. The question is, who will you serve with that freedom? You got to serve someone. Will you use your freedom to go right back into sin? Go back under the law? Because you're free to do that. God will keep pursuing you. God will keep searching for you and calling you to repent and return. The good shepherd goes out to look for the lost sheep. But you do have the option to continue running away from grace. But if you choose to go that route, you should know where it leads, Paul says. It's the last verse of that reading, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. The definition of sin is going against God, separating yourself from God. And that means death, because God is a God of life, the giver of life. Lutherans believe that God freely gives grace. And we also believe you can choose to reject that grace. You can say no to God. You can choose to run away from the Holy Spirit's work in you. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that eternal life isn't only for after you die and go to heaven. Eternal life starts now. Eternal life begins from the empty tomb, from Jesus defeating the power of death, Jesus bridging the gap between God and us. The problem with the Lutheran tradition, really the problem with grace, and remember, Lutherans certainly don't have a monopoly on this, that's not what I'm saying. The problem with grace is that we are no longer required to do good works to earn God's favor. But if we understand the grace God has shown to us, the inevitable result of our faith, the inevitable result of trusting in God, is doing good works. It's serving Jesus. When you trust God, you can't help living the way God wants you to, serving God, letting the Holy Spirit work in you. I want you to listen to the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases this passage in The Message, paraphrase of the Bible. So this is that same section from Romans 6. He writes, "So, since we are out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom." I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness? As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do, and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put-together life right now with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. That's a pretty good paraphrase, isn't it? Beloved of God, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember what God has done for you. Jesus has died to give you life. You are forgiven. You are set free from your captivity to sin, and you are set free to live for God, set free to live a life of meaning, purpose, and hope in response to God's love for you. May all you do with your freedom be a reflection of God's love for you and for the world. Amen. Thanks be to God.